Psalm 1, this is God's Word. Let's give it our attention as it's read. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Thus far, God's Word. Psalms are a beautiful part of the Scriptures, 150 separate works that are knit together into four volumes that are bound together as one unified Psalter. One of the beauties of the Psalms is how they express the vast range of human emotion and experience. Joy, sorrow, repentance, faith, judgment, mercy. They take us to the heights and to the depths of our experiences in this life. They call us to worship. They help us to confess our sins and repent. They remind us of God's forgiveness and His mercy. And they point us to the eternal joy and security that we have in Jesus. And so in order to understand the Psalms properly, when we read them, we need to see Jesus. If you read the Psalms today in the same way that an unbelieving Jew would, then you have misunderstood their true and proper meaning. If I preach any portion of this Psalter in a way that would be warmly received and welcomed in a synagogue this coming Saturday, then I have failed in my duty to proclaim the whole counsel of God. These are the Psalms of God's people, sung by His Messiah, prayed by His people, and all for His glory. I opened last week's morning sermon about beginnings. And we have before us this evening the beginning of the Psalter, the opening psalm, if you will. There is much we could say, but these aren't random psalms just packed together in random order and thrown into a book for publication. There is also thought put into what psalm comes before and after what other psalm. There is a flow and a unified whole to them, book by book. And so as we come to Psalm 1 this morning, we read, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers." I'm sure that you've read this psalm and heard this psalm taught in the past as a to-do list for becoming this blessed man. If you want to be a blessed man or a woman, then these are the things that you need to do to achieve that goal. So, for instance, if you don't walk in the counsel of the wicked, if you don't stand in the way of sinners, you don't sit in the seat of scoffers, but instead you delight in God's law, you spend regular time in the Word, if you do these things, then God will bless you. If you do good for God, God will do good for you. Sort of a spiritual quid pro quo. God helps those who help themselves. But is this a message that brings you good news? That if you can just do better, make better choices, choose better friends, be a better law keeper, then you will curry God's favor. You will earn His blessing. Because I know there are times when you do walk in the counsel of the wicked, when you stand in the way of sinners, when you sit in the seat of scoffers, that there are times when you do not delight in the law of the Lord, nor do you meditate on it day and night. And if your only hope is to be a better person so that you might earn God's favor with your works, then you are in need of being humbled by His grace. And you need to hear the good news once again, the gospel of Jesus Christ here from Psalm 1. Because you and your very, very best works, your very best efforts, can never make you into this blessed man. Try your hardest. Pile up all of your very best works. Go out of your way, day in, day out, dusk until dawn, to do all of the things that you think will earn you God's favor. And like that rich young ruler, you will end up going away from Jesus sad. Because you still will be nowhere close to being this blessed man. And so who is this man? The one who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of scoffers, but truly delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on this law day and night. Who is this man? Who is it that stands before God in righteousness? It can be only one. It is Jesus. There can be no one else. It can't be you. It can't be me. It must be Jesus. He delights in the law as only He can, as lawgiver and as perfect lawkeeper. He has kept it perfectly. He has set us free from the condemnation of the law so that now we can delight in it in Him. Paul tells us more about this in Romans 8. He says, "For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season and its leaf does not wither. Now, kids, what is special about trees? Especially trees that get lots of good water. What's different from a tree than a flower, for instance? Can you climb a flower? What do you think, Beth? Can you climb a flower? Can you build a fort in a flower? What do you think? That you can climb into and make a little clubhouse? You can't. No. So why is it that you can do those things in a tree, especially a healthy tree? What do you think? Is it because a tree is strong? A tree is firm? It can support your weight? It can bear up under that kind of a load? Are trees easy to move? What do you think? If you decide, I have this oak tree, this 50-foot tall oak tree in my front yard, and I'd really like it in the backyard because it would give me much better shade. Can we just pick it up and move it? What do you think? Job, can we? No, we can't. Why not? It's stuck, right? It's stuck in the ground. Those roots dig way deep down into the ground. Those roots burrow through rocks and soil and hold that tree fast where it belongs, where it was planted. And so if we say that Jesus is like a tree planted by streams of water, what does that mean? What are we saying about Him? We're saying that He is strong like a tree. He is firmly planted. He stands firm in God. in his righteousness. He doesn't move away towards sin. And he holds us in his grace. And we're going to contrast him with the wicked who have no roots in just a little bit. And we're told in all that he does, he prospers. Can you think of a better description of Jesus? He is our rock. He is our mighty fortress. He is a tree planted by streams of water. He is strong, healthy, fruitful, and prosperous in all things. There is no weakness in him. He does not have oak wilt, does not have blight. His leaf does not wither. There is no imperfection. There is no sickness or disease. This is your Savior. This is your Lord. This is your God. And with him on your side, with you being in him, what can the wicked do to you? The psalmist continues in verse 4, the wicked are not so. Okay, Jesus is like a tree planted by streams of water, but the wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. The kid's chaff is just the empty husks blowing off of the harvest. It's basically like dust. It has no value, it has no use anymore or purpose. It's like dust that the wind blows away. The wicked has no power. They have no strength. They have no fruit or life or endurance or salvation. Should we cling to Jesus? Or should we cling to the dust of the wicked that the world offers up? Those are our choices here, right? We have Jesus, the blessed man, like a tree planted by streams of water. And we have over here the wicked that are like chaff that the wind drives away. And when the day of judgment comes, Christ will stand firm. And the wicked will be driven away to destruction. They cannot stand on the day of judgment. Well, the obvious answer is we cling to Jesus, who is life and who bears fruit and who never fails. The psalm comes to its conclusion. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Apart from our Lord Jesus, the blessed man, we are the wicked. We cannot stand on our own in the judgment. We cannot stand in the congregation of the righteous apart from Jesus. Only in Christ, because of his perfect life, his sacrificial death, his resurrection and power, are we called and made worthy in him to stand in the day of judgment. Only in him are our names written in the book of life, because it's called what? The Lamb's book of life. But apart from the Lamb, there is no life. There is no righteousness. There is not one apart from him who can stand on that day. And in him we are counted as members of the congregation of the righteous. Those whom the scriptures refer to as the elect. God's chosen people. Chosen by him for his own glory. Made righteous in Christ. It's called the doctrine of imputation. That's the fancy theological word for it. But that we have Christ who is righteous. And there's his people who are not righteous. And his righteousness, the credit for that, is reckoned, is given to their account. That's why we sing in that hymn, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. We are clothed, if you will, in his righteousness, not our own. And it closes, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Who are the righteous again? Those who are made to be righteous in Jesus. Remember back to when we walked through 1 John 3, not too long ago. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Look to Jesus, the Son of God, the blessed and perfect man, who has saved us from our sin and has made us to be counted as righteous in him. Through his Spirit, may we grow in holiness as we experience the blessings of his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for our Lord Jesus, the truly blessed and righteous man, that he would humble himself to be born of a woman, to be born under the law, in order to save us from our sin. We thank you for his perfect life, for his daily obedience, year after year after year, even in the midst of incredible temptation and suffering. And if he would have faltered even once, we would be lost. But he remained true, a tree planted by streams of water, firm and fixed and faithful, in order to make us yours forever. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to work in our hearts and our lives, molding us after your image, continuing to put to death the old man, the deeds of the flesh. May we honor and glorify you now as blessed in Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand for the benediction.